Well, good evening. As Pastor Jim had just mentioned, Pastor Aaron's out of town. He's in South Dakota. I don't know why this time of year he gets to go to the luxurious places such as South Dakota. And it's very, very fun. But my name is Pastor Ryan. I'm the youth pastor here at Life Church, and I'm going to be speaking to you this evening. We're in this four-part series called Skittles. And if you were around last week, Pastor Aaron talked about how Skittles are the resources of life. Skittles represent your time, talent, and treasure. And basically, he kind of used it as an analogy kind of throughout the whole service. And in your notes, in your bulletin, just to kind of recap a little bit, he talked about how Skittles are God-given. Everything that we have, our time, our talent, our treasure, everything that we have is given to us by God as a gift. He talked about how Skittles are to be given, not gobbled. We're simply, you know, we're simply stewards of our money. We're simply stewards of our time and our talent. And all of it is from God, and the Skittles are a sign of blessing. And then Pastor Aaron challenged all of us, what are you doing with your Skittles? How are you managing your money? How are you managing your time? How are you managing all of that stuff? And tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about cravings. Now, my wife is pregnant, and we're due in June. And she, some of you didn't know that, I heard a couple of people like gasping or whatever. Sorry. But she is due in June, and I've learned a whole new thing about the word cravings through this experience, like little things here and there. And actually, I think I've had more cravings than she has since she's been pregnant. Like this week, on Monday night, had a good meal. After the meal, you ever have those times where you're just like, man, I just need something else. I'm almost full, but I just need like some kind of sweet thing or, you know, whatever it might be. And I couldn't put a finger on it. I knew it was like, it was a specific thing I was looking for. You ever have those times where you know there's something that'll satisfy that craving? And this night, on Monday night, it was a banana split. That was what I needed. And we had bananas, we had chocolate. I don't mess around with like nuts and berries, all that junk. It's just bananas, chocolate, but we didn't have any ice cream. So I had to go to Dairy Queen, get some of the soft serve ice cream, which is just awesome, by the way. You don't have to let it thaw or anything. And I got the ice cream, and that night I think I had two of them, two banana splits. I think I had six throughout the week. I don't know about you guys, but every once in a while I'll just go through this like binge on a certain food where it's just, I just go crazy with it. Sometimes at Christmas it's like cookies or, you know, whatever it might be. We Americans, we have a big, big problem with cravings when it comes to especially our finances. And this Skittles jar right here, if anyone was noticing what that is, last week you got a little bag of Skittles, which I have one in my pocket right here. You got a little, if you missed out, you missed out on a little fun-sized bag of Skittles. There's about 12 of them in there, big time. And we talked about, you know, what are you going to do with your Skittles? And there's a lot of people that they're given, they feel like what they've been given by God as far as their time, talent, and treasure is just a little tiny fun size bag of Skittles. And they're looking at this and they're like, man, that's just not going to, that's not going to do anything for me. That's not going to satisfy a craving. That's just going to, you know, that's not much. And you look at something like this, this huge jar of Skittles, and you say, man, that's what I need to satisfy my craving. It's never going to be enough to just have this, but I'm going to need something like that. And just a little plug for what this is. You're going to see this out here in the cafe last week, this week, and next week. And basically what we're doing is we're raising money for Speed the Light, which is a missions organization that provides transportation and AV equipment for missionaries around the world. And basically what you do is you have to pay a certain amount. It's in your bulletin, all the details, per guess. And you guess how many Skittles are in here, and then the winner is going to be announced the last week of our series, and they're going to get this big bad jar of Skittles. We don't pay for your dental insurance, however. But you get this huge thing of Skittles, and then you get, I think, like a gift card to the mall. So support Speed the Light if you can afterwards out in the cafe. Do I have anyone here that would like some Skittles? Oh, I saw the first hand right there, Aaron. Right on. Someone almost snagged it from you. Look out. But we have cravings in America, and Americans, it's worse here than any other country when it comes to money. I don't know if you guys realize this, but for every dollar an average American makes, they spend $1.22, which is just crazy to me. It might not sound like a ton, but if the average person were to make some, The average person made like $50,000, which that's probably off, but the average person makes $50,000. Over the course of a year, they're going to spend $61,000. That's $11,000 every year on average that people are just going into debt. This makes for a whole lot of debt in our culture. And tonight I want to talk a little bit about debt. And I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that if you have debt in your life, you're sinning and that debt is just like the worst thing. I'm not here to talk about that, but I'm here to talk about real deal issues. What do we do? How can I get out of debt? How can I avoid debt? Because Proverbs 22:7, it says that the borrower is subject to the lender. Simply put, don't buy anything you can't pay back. You know, we're not talking, if borrowing money was bad, very few people would have houses, to be honest with you. I mean, borrowing is not the problem. It's when you can't pay it back. And that's a lot of what a lot of people find themselves in is that very situation. They can't pay it back. If they were to cash out all their assets, they're not able to break even. And a lot of people find themselves in that situation. In your notes, if you want to take them out, there's a few attitudes that contribute to having so much debt in our country. The first attitude, senior notes, I'll pay for it later. I'll pay for it later. And this, a big part of this is credit cards. Credit cards are all over the place. You can get a credit card anywhere you go. You go to a Kohl's. Just yesterday, I was offered a credit card at Kohl's. You want to save 15% today? Or at Target, that's a huge one. You want to save 10% today? My answer is, yes, I would, but I'm not getting one of those cards. I would love 10%, but that you can get a card wherever you go. And for me, I went to get a checking account like about a year ago. And I wanted to get a debit card. And you guys are going to get a kick out of this story, especially Packer fans. I went in to get a debit card, and I found out that there are just a ton of different options when it comes to like the style of your card and all this. And I looked at it, and this is kind of my the skeleton in my closet that I'm sorry if you don't know this about me. Don't throw anything at me. But I'm from Minnesota originally, and I am a Minnesota Vikings fan. And just make sure nobody's winding up on me. I know we got a couple here. It's not my fault. It's nothing that I chose. It's just kind of how I was born. It's just the way I am. And I really am happy for you guys. I mean, one game away from the Super Bowl, pretty exciting. My team's sitting at home right now, so it's not fun to be a Viking fan in Wisconsin right now. But I'm looking at all these cards, and I see one, and it's a Green Bay Packers card. And then I'm looking at all the other ones, and I'm like, ma'am, honestly, I don't care which one I have. I just don't want the Packers card. Just like you guys wouldn't want a Vikings card or a Bears card, right? It's not that I hate the Packers. It's just, I don't want a Packers card in my wallet. Well, I say it's something like I want this American flag one or whatever it was. I don't even remember, but 2 weeks later in the mail, I get my debit card. Here it is. It's a Green Bay Packers debit card. I don't know what happened. God's trying to tell me something. But every time I swipe this bad boy, it's just incentive for me not to take this thing out. So I'm telling you, I guess it's good stuff. But there are so many credit cards, and the statistics tell us that the average American gets 50 credit card offers every single year, which to me, that actually seems low. I don't know about you guys, but it seems like I get about three times that amount. I think they look at somebody that's just a little bit out of college and say, man, we can hit that person up. They don't understand how interest rates work yet, so we're going to send them a ton of offers. The average American has 7.6 credit cards. That's crazy to me. 7.6 credit cards. The average American family carries an $8,400 balance in credit card debt. Just credit card debt, not anything else. If you did the math on that, if you did the minimum monthly payment on that at about 18%, it would take you 25 years to pay that off. And at the end of it, you would pay about three times the amount of money. You pay about $24,000 by the end of it. It's crazy to me. Credit cards are a huge part of today's society because people love the idea of paying for things later. It just sounds so much nicer. I'll just pay for that later. When I get the money, I'll pay for that. You will pay for it, but about three times the amount. Another way that this I'll pay for it later attitude is in loans. I get loan offers all the time. Oh, you can take out a home equity loan and all this other stuff. You can take out this loan and that loan. And a big part of today's society, I want to talk to college students for just a minute. I know there's a few of you in here. College students, college loans, student loans are a big, big deal. And you know what? Going in college, there were so many of my friends and so many people in college that this was their attitude when it came to student loans. They would say, well, I'm going to college to get my degree, and once I graduate, I can just put everything, I'll just put all my schooling on loans, but then when I graduate, having a degree will get me that much better of a job that I'll be able to pay for this. It'll be a wash by the end. I can pay for it in no time. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that attitude, but what I would see a lot of times is that college students would go and then just blow their money in college. Like, just go to movies, go to bowling, go eat out every single night, do this and do that, and buy this and buy that. And there were so many, I know so many faces that are coming into my mind of college students that I went to school with, that they just absolutely blew their money in college because they thought, I'll pay for it later. I'll get out of debt later. I don't have to worry about this until the day I graduate. And it's just crazy to me. I'm one that I'm a little bit on the opposite end of the spectrum when it comes to student loans. My experience going into college was, I want to go into college and I don't want to take out a single loan for any of college. And I'm not here to say that student loans are bad and you shouldn't do them and you should quit school if you have them or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But my conviction when I went into college was, I don't want to have any student loans. And what that meant was a lot of work on my part. It meant that I couldn't go out to eat all the time. I couldn't, you know, go bowling and go to movies and whatever else. I couldn't go to concerts all the time. And another part of it was having multiple jobs. I know there were many times that I was, you know, had 18 credits and two jobs, and it was a lot of work. I wasn't getting much sleep. I know there are Friday nights where everyone else is, you know, doing whatever, going to a basketball game or whatever, and I'm sitting there doing homework because I'm a nerd like that, and I just felt like that a lot. And there's some of the scholarships, like academic scholarships that I had, you had to maintain a certain GPA, and so that's figuring into it. By the end of college, though, after 4 years, the day I graduated, I was able to not owe that school another penny, and it felt so incredibly good not to go into a marriage and now having a baby without having any of that student loan. And I'm not here to tell you that, you know, you're bad if you have a student loan, but what I am here to tell you is, if you have a student loan, or if you have maybe a home equity loan or whatever it might be, chip away at it now. Don't think that you can't make a dent on it now. Maybe that's, you set a goal and say, I'm going to save $2,000 over this next year to go towards my school. And maybe that's not going to cover it all, but it won't cover it all, but it'll make a dent. It'll at least chip away at it. This pay for it now attitude is what gets a lot of people in deep, deep trouble when it comes to credit cards. Credit cards and loans in general. I had a friend in college who racked up $25,000 of debt in his first year of college. And about half of that was school, and the other half was just random stuff. Like, he just come home with things, and I'm like, what are you doing, man? And I remember one time he came to me, and he wanted to buy a guitar. And it was about a $2,000 guitar, and he's like, man, they got this sweet deal at this music, at like Guitar Center or whatever it was, that you don't make any payments for 18 months. And he's like, this is awesome. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I was a couple years older than him and knew a little bit more about how those things maybe work. And I said, well, what's your interest rate after 18 months? And he looked at me like, what are you talking about? Don't I just pay it off after 18 months, right? I'm like, no, you probably have an interest rate. And he looked into it, and it was like 25% interest rate after 18 months. And he immediately was like, maybe I should return this thing that I just bought, because this is going to come back to bite me. But it's this I'll pay for it later attitude. It sounds so nice, but it gets a lot of people into big trouble when it comes to debt. A couple bits of advice. Cut up, if you have credit card debt, cut up your credit cards. Don't keep putting things on there. It's an easy thing to do. Another one that's easier said than done is pay off your credit card balance each month. That's one thing I didn't quite understand how credit cards worked right when I got them. I think they try to hit you when you're young. But if you let your balance carry over and over, it becomes a big, big problem. You start paying interest, all that stuff. Pay cash. Statistics say that you'll spend 30 to 40% less on anything that you buy if you just pay for it in cash. And these are just easy things that we can do. It's this I'll pay for it later attitude. The second attitude is the attitude that says, I want it and I want it now. I want it and I want it now. And one area here I'm talking about is impulse spending. I was with Amanda in Walmart probably 1 or 2 months ago. And I think we were Christmas shopping for somebody else. We had no agenda to get anything for ourselves when we went into that store. And I'm a typical guy that anytime I'm in like a Target or Walmart, I need to go check out the electronics section. And usually I have no agenda to buy anything. Like I don't need to get a movie, but sometimes I'm like, you know, I just want to see what movies are on sale. Maybe, oh, they're selling movies for $4.75. Wow, that's cheaper than $5. Maybe I should get one, you know, type of thing. They're not $5.50 anymore. They're $4.75. I don't know if you noticed that at Target lately, but pretty cool. Anyway, so I'm in the electronics section, and I see a DVD-VCR combo that was on sale. And I said, Amanda, we should get this. We need one. She's like, well, why do we need one? I'm like, well, it's on sale, right? It's normally $120. It's only $80. This is a good deal. It's a Sony. It's a nice one. Let's do this. And she said, well, why do we need it? I'm like, well, you know, our DVD player sometimes skips on certain movies, and that really bugs me. And, you know, our VCR, the remote, the little bat, the part that hangs the battery on is held together by a piece of tape. I don't really like that. You know, those are just a couple reasons. I think it'd be nice to just have it in one little, you know, compartment so I don't have two of them. And I'm like, those are good reasons, right? And she's like, come on now, do we really need one? We have three DVD players and there's two of us. Because we each had one from college and then we bought one when we got married. We have a VCR. We actually had two, but one doesn't really work. But and then she's like, well, when's the last time we watched a VHS? And I thought about that, and I couldn't remember the last time we watched a VHS. And I'm thinking, okay, I get it. It makes absolutely no sense. Let's not do it. And we walked away, and we didn't buy the thing. But there's so many people that they spend on impulse. The statistics say that 80% of major purchases are bought on impulse. Now, for you, you have to define what a major purchase is for you. Some people, it's going to be way more than others. For us, at this time in our life, getting a $80 TV or DVD VCR combo, that was a major purchase that we did not have to have. Don't buy things you don't need. A good tip, if you tend to be an impulse shopper, give it 24 hours before you actually make the purchase. I guarantee that you're going to spend a lot less and have a lot less headaches if you just wait 24 hours. And something easy you can do. Another part of this I want it now attitude is keeping up with the Joneses. I need you to throw up a picture of my car right here. This is my 1996 Chevy Corsica, and if you look real close, you can kind of see just all the different character going on in that car. I want to tell you a little bit about my car, because I just got to tell you. This car, I just rolled over 222,000 miles on this thing today as I was driving to church, actually. Big milestone. It has paint chips missing. You can kind of see in the back, especially up in the front, there's like some defect on 96 Corsicas or something like that. I don't know exactly. There's hail damage on it. There's dents all over the thing. It burns oil about every 1,000 miles. I got to add a quart of oil. The driver's side window doesn't go up or down, which is really funny at drive-thrus, because one time this lady, because I'm kind of stubborn, I'm like, well, I can just reach over the window and big deal, I'm not getting out of my car, it's 10 degrees out. And this one lady one time, I think it was at McDonald's, took the cup and wasn't really looking and went to give it to me and just plowed right into the side of my window, and it kind of like splashed everywhere or whatever, and she was like, what? What's going on? Why don't you have your window down and all this stuff? And so the window doesn't work. The air conditioning doesn't work, which is really cool because the window doesn't work. There's rust all over. The upholstery is kind of torn up. My dog did a number on one of the seat belts in the back. I mean, it's just torn up in different places. There's like this old car smell going on. I can't really figure out. It's not the diaper from last time, but it's just this old car smell. There's random noises, like weird, I can't even begin to describe some of the weird noises that come out of this thing. There's no CD player. There is radio, but it's like really, really staticky. I can't figure that out. Let's see what else we got going on. The windshield, I can never quite get it clean. I don't know what's going on. I have new wipers. There's always a little haze going on with the window. I can't figure that out. The little sprayers that are on the window wipers that spray, you know, stuff everywhere. Sometimes they fall off of the window wiper and start shooting water everywhere, which is just awesome. This car has so many things that I just get so frustrated about. And there's so many times I'm driving by people that have nice cars, and I'm like, I should just go get one of these cars. I should just go get a nice used car. It doesn't even have to cost that much. I just cannot spend another day in this car. It's actually embarrassing at times. And more and more I think about this, I'm just like, man, why don't I just go get a new car? But the reality is this thing has gone 60,000 miles without a single problem. My sister gave it to me when she thought it was on its last leg. And it's gone 4 years and 60,000 miles, and the thing just is a trooper. And I'm just running into the ground right now. Wait until the day where it just explodes one day or something. Hopefully I'm not in it. But this car, there's no reason for me to get a new car because the thing gets me from point A to point B, and it'd be unnecessary for me to go get a new car. There's a lot of times that I want it. I'm thinking, man, I could drive with a little more class than this thing. In the summer, I could sweat a little less, ruin a few less shirts, and I just want a nice car. But I don't need one. But I don't need to keep up with the people who have nice cars. And Amanda and I was thinking about this earlier today. We have, most people in our sphere of influence are much older than us. I mean, I'm the youngest of three kids. So I have my brother and my sister are older than me. They both have families with multiple children. They both live in both own a house and have nice vehicles. And Amanda is the youngest of five children. She has four older sisters. They're all, you know, a lot older than she is and have, you know, houses and careers and nice clothes, all this stuff. And we'll be like going on like some family gathering and, you know, we'll be like, well, can we not stay at the really nice hotel? Can we just kind of back it off? And because they're just like, it's no problem for them. They've been around long enough that they've built up a little bit of wealth. They've climbed the ladder in their business, and they have a little bit more money. And there's a lot of friends that we hang out with that they're older than us. They have a little bit more experience. They have a little bit more money. And it's easy for me to look at those people and be like, man, they have the nice car, they have the nice house, they have furniture in every room of their house, they have all this stuff. Why can't I just get a new car? Why can't I just get this or that? And I have to realize, you know what, I'm just not at that level right now. I'm just, you know, I'm fresh out of college. Amanda and I are just starting a family right now. I'm not here to say, man, the church isn't paying me enough and blah, blah, blah. That's not what I'm going at. But every single person in one point in their life goes through this time where they just have a little less money. I want to tell you, if you're in your 20s, don't try to live as if you're in your 30s. If you're in your 30s, don't try to live as if you're in your 40s. Don't try to live beyond your means because, you know, it's not always going to be like this. Maybe if you're in a tough financial place, I just want to tell you, it's not always going to be like that. Don't try to impress everyone around you. Stop trying to live at a level you can't afford. Ecclesiastes 4:4 says, "And I saw that all labor and all achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor. This too is meaningless as chasing after the wind." There's so many people that have this "I want it and I want it now" attitude. Just have some patience. Have some patience. The third thing, last point here tonight, is that I don't need a gas gauge to drive. Think about that for a second. If you were driving around, maybe that's one thing that works on my car, which is sweet, but think about driving around in a car with no gas gauge. You'd be like, oh, no, it's fine. I'm just going to kind of feel it out, you know? I'll start feeling when this car is running on fumes, and I'll just go get more gas. And it's just crazy to think that people would drive like that, but there's so many people, that's how they actually go about their finances. They kind of just spend on feel, you know? If I think I'm kind of running low, maybe I should back it off this month, or man, I think we could afford that. Sure, let's go for it. And it's just crazy, but the reality is so many people, that's exactly their attitude when it comes to their money. And right here what I'm talking about is budgeting. This thing has helped me a ton when it comes to budgeting. It's relatively new to me, but over the last year or so, it's been something that it's been very, very helpful to me because no longer am I wondering if I can afford something. It's pretty plain. It's pretty simple. It's right in front of me. This is what we make. This is what we spend. It's not rocket science. There's a computer that I wanted in college, and in college, I was working at a church part-time that was about 35 miles from my college, and I didn't have a computer over there, and so I was taking my desktop computer with me back and forth like 3-4 times a week probably. I would take the tower back and forth and then plug it into another monitor, so I had all my files right there and everything. And after a while, I was just getting so frustrated with it. It took a lot of energy. But I also found out that my computer was slowing down a ton. This thing wasn't made to be going back and forth and changing temperatures all the time and I think I dropped it a couple of times too. That didn't help. But this thing was slowing down on me, and I had to get a new computer. And I'm thinking, well, it would be stupid if I didn't get a laptop, right? And so I decided, you know, I want to get a laptop. But I couldn't afford it. So I'm thinking, okay, what can I do? And I kind of wrote out a plan and said, how can I do this? I looked at Best Buy, and they had like this 12-month no payment, but I actually knew what that meant at the time, no payment type thing where you can, you know, pay it off over a year. And I'm thinking, well, if I put this amount down and I pay this amount each month, I should be able to do this in 12 months. And I came up with a plan. I researched it. I looked for bargains. I did all this stuff. I got all my things done. And finally, one day, I was able to say, okay, I think I can do this now. I paid like half of it up front and then split it up over 12 months, and it was very manageable. Now, had I gone into that just thinking, man, I'm just going to buy it. We'll just see what happens. Likely what would have happened after 12 months is I'd be paying an arm and a leg every single month after that. But many people, they live with this. They don't have a gas gauge. They don't budget. They don't follow a plan. And what I want to tell you, maybe you're deep in debt tonight. Maybe you just have so much going on right now. I'd like to tell you, just have a plan. What can you do? Maybe it's a 5-year plan. Maybe it's a 10-year plan. Maybe you have to sit down and say, what can I do? Can I put aside $50 a month for the next 10 years and get out of this debt? What's it going to take? But write it down. Have a plan. Habakkuk 2:2, if I could find it here, it says, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets. Write it down. And maybe this means that you have to make some cuts, some budget cuts, so to speak. I know Amanda and I, we were looking at our budget, and we're doing some different planning and doing some retirement stuff and trying to figure out where can we cut some certain things out in order to make this work. And I looked at it for a little while, and I'm like, well, I was just kind of thinking a little bit, if we cut cable and internet, and every month, like maybe twice a month, we would do like dinner and a movie type of thing. I'm like, if instead of going to dinner and movie, we just went home, rented a movie, made a nice meal. If we just did those two things, I'm just kind of thinking out loud to her, over the course of a year, that would be $2,000 just right there that we would save. And I'm thinking, man, there are just little things that we can do. And yeah, I want cable. Yeah, I want internet. Yeah, I want to go to the movies. Yeah, I want to do this stuff. But is it worth it? Is it worth it in the end? Because it just isn't. What are some things that you can cut out? Think about the sacrifices you can make. And as we close, I just want to share one last thing with you, kind of a principle when it comes to budgeting. It's the 10-10-80 principle. What it says is that 10% of your money is tithe. And we're going to talk about this in the next few weeks. But Malachi 3:8-10. It says, will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. And I'm not here to talk about much about tithe tonight, but I don't know how you can talk about debt and not mention tithe, because honestly, if you're not given what you've been given to God, if you're not given that 10% that he's commanded us to give, why would you expect God to help you when it comes to debt? 10% of our money has to go to tithe. Another 10% goes to savings. Proverbs 6:6-8 says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." Even wildlife has this under control, where they understand the principle that I have to save in order to have stuff later on. You know, you have to put money towards your retirement. You have to put money towards savings. 10% of your money should be going towards savings, and then 80% is just for you to enjoy. Proverbs 13:4, it says, "The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied." You know, I really believe that God wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to enjoy our Skittles. That doesn't mean that we're foolish with it. That doesn't mean that we just frivolously spend everything, but he wants us to enjoy. But there's so many people that they simply can't enjoy what they've been given because they are just up to their eyes in debt. And I was talking to Jim actually just before the service, and we were talking about how there's people that if God asked them to just get up and go do something somewhere else, maybe across the country, whatever it might be, or maybe in another country across the world, there's so many people that just would not be able to do that because they're just locked in on so many different loans and so much debt that they couldn't do that. And God, I think God just wants us to have freedom as humans. He doesn't want us to be under the to be a slave to debt. One last thing before we leave, I just wanted to let you know that debt is both a supernatural and a natural problem, which has both a natural and a supernatural solution. I really believe that when we begin to do our part and we begin to be diligent and set a plan and budget and don't make frivolous spending and just kind of manage our money well, that God does what he can only do. And I really believe that there's people in this room that I believe that God can absolutely do a financial miracle in your life. It's a supernatural thing, but it's also a natural thing that we have to take under control. We do have to do our part, and then God does what only he can do. I just want to close with a word of prayer tonight, and you guys will be dismissed. Father God, we just thank you so much for every single gift, Lord. I can't even begin to express, Lord, how much you've done in my life. And I just thank you right now. And I just pray, Lord, that we would never forget to just rise each day thanking you for every single thing you've done in our lives, Lord. Lord, I just pray that we would understand that everything that we have is yours. And I pray right now that if there's people in this room that are facing just a huge amount of debt, I just pray right now that, first of all, that you would just give them a plan. Lord, that you're the author of wisdom and you give them wisdom right now. Lord, I just pray that we don't have to be slaves to debt. We don't have to be slaves to the things that we own. That we don't have to be slaves to our cravings. But Lord, there's freedom when we manage what you've given us well. So I just pray right now for wisdom for each and every family in here. And I just pray right now that you do miracles, Lord, in our finances. Lord, that we would do our part and that we would rely on you to do your part. And I just pray right now that we wouldn't become fearful. We wouldn't become worried. But Lord, we realize that everything is in your hands. Everything that we have is yours. I just pray right now you give us a great, safe rest of the night. In your name I pray. Amen.